All right, so moving on, we had a speaker on repowering earlier, and I want to talk a little bit about repowering on, from the finance perspective. These are some numbers from AWEA. They're announcing their full 2018 numbers tomorrow, so they wouldn't tell me the final numbers for 2018. But this is what has happened in repowering the last 2 years, as well as some of the places we're expecting to see some more repowering work. So, Bessie, maybe I'll start off with you. I know you guys have done some work in this space. What are y'all seeing in the repowering space?
Sure. So, hopefully everyone had a chance to join the repowering panel, but the real key drivers that we're seeing driving the trend in repowering is the requalification of PTCs, and then also some of the economics around older projects. By replacing major components in some of these older projects, you can really see a material pickup on the production side, anywhere from 10 to 30% or, you know, even more. And then what's also notable is that through upgrades on the cost and efficiency side, through preventative maintenance and sensoring type systems, you can really see a driving down of cost savings over the sort of new, 20 to 30 year time horizon for these repowered projects. We are seeing sponsors like NextEra and Leeward, among others, look at lots of repowering opportunities across their fleet. Some of the leaders in this area are ones that have, a generation of older vintage projects that are sort of prime for repowering opportunities. And I think one, very interesting thing as we think about repowering and what kind of legs the repowering trend has going forward is that the earliest projects are often the best wind sites in the country. So, as these opportunities are being reevaluated for an investment and a repowering investment, you're really looking at some of the best wind resource regions. And so even as we look ahead towards a phase out of the PTC over time, it's kind of hard to imagine that there would be untapped value left in some of these really rich wind resource regions as projects, approach 10 to 12 years of seasoning. So, anyway.
Do y'all think this is a short-lived thing? Is it just, we're going to repower some stuff right now because we can get 100% PTCs on it, or is this going to be a new trend going forward?
I mean, I don't work in the wind sector, but I'll speak to that just from my perspective. One of our sort of underlying fact patterns at Clean Capital is that when we buy an asset, we're not just looking to own it and keep it, going business as usual, but we have a very robust optimization program. So we're constantly working with our off-takers to figure out ways to, extend their PPA, obviously, is the easiest, most top of the head, but then, we're talking about adding storage to some of these facilities where it makes sense to do that. I think for us, it has nothing to do with tax credits. It just makes sense for us to be working with our customers to continue to optimize their assets in any way that we can, including, retrofitting with new panels if we've gotten to a point where the panels need to be updated. So
I'll just add one more thing, which is it's always the question of where do you want to allocate your capital? What's your company deciding to do with its money? Is it growing its footprint? Or is it looking to revamp an old site? There is a lot of value in doing that, as both Bessie and Melinda mentioned. But it just has to go back to the core, the root of what your company is looking to do within their five-year business plan.
All right. Well, Melinda, you mentioned storage, so I'll turn to you. I know we've already had one panel on storage, but 45 minutes on storage doesn't seem like nearly enough, so I wanted to give another group of panelists' perspective on what we're seeing in storage and finance and see anything you disagree with or just the different experiences that you've seen compared to our panel from earlier today. So this just for background, of course, everyone knows storage is growing tremendously, and everybody kind of says it's where solar was, and then name however many years ago. Mm-hmm. And you can pick how many years ago.
Right.
So curious what y'all are seeing. And in particular, both with and without the ITC, from your perspective, are you only doing storage places where you compare it with solar or potentially with wind, but really with solar? Or are you looking at, you know, doing any sort of standalone projects?
So we are definitely looking at both. And, you know, to speak to the solar plus storage point, I think, you know, there's obviously two components. There's building a whole new system, solar plus storage, and there's adding storage to an existing system, which I mentioned before is part of our optimization strategy with some of our off-takers who would like to see that or look at the option at least. So when you're looking at solar plus storage, and I just want to caveat this, I should have said it at the very beginning, that I am not a tax lawyer, so there may be some tax lawyers in the audience, and you should definitely consult with your tax lawyer on these types of things, but my understanding is that if you have an existing solar project, you can add storage to that solar project and still claim the full ITC on the value of the storage that you're adding, and there's no time limit on that. So I think there has been a little bit of confusion, and maybe there's a little bit of, maybe it's not totally clear, I don't know that we've gotten totally clear guidance from the IRS, but that obviously changes things dramatically if you can take a system, a solar system that is a qualified energy facility, add storage to it, and claim an ITC on that storage facility. And, you know, that's clearly going to play a big role in how you structure your financing on the addition of the storage facility.